Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of June, 2015, USDA Report Day. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about those reports and reaction in Chicago with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Daryl Good, ag economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, will give us an in-depth, insightful look at the numbers and what they may mean over the longer term for the marketplace. They were friendly today, by the way. And we'll talk about the weather forecast, too. That's what's been driving much of what's happened in Chicago. Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us during this half hour of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago. On this Tuesday afternoon, July in the corn pit up 30 and three quarters of a cent. Settlement price there at $4.14, September at $4.22. That was up 30 for the day, and December corn at $4.31 and a half, 29 and a quarter cents higher. The March contract at $4.40 and three quarters, up 28 and a quarter. And July of next year, 26 and a quarter cents higher at $4.50. Soy complex bean futures up 53 and three quarters in the nearby July at $10.56 and a quarter. The August 10.49 and a half, up 55 cents. September 10.41 and a half, up 57. And November at 10.37 and a quarter, up 57 and a quarter. January at 57 and a quarter, $10.42 and a quarter. And next year's July soybeans at $10.14, 34 and a half cents higher. I guess I don't have to tell you that the markets might have reacted just a little friendly to the release this morning from the USDA of the acreage and the grain stocks number. Wheat futures were up 34 and a quarter at 614 and three quarters in the July soft red. Hard red up 21 and three quarters at $5.93 and a quarter. Bean meal, $17.60 higher. And the bean oil was up 51 cents for the day. Live cattle futures at $147.85 were down $1.82 and a half on the afternoon in the June. August at $1.82 and a half lower as well at $1.48 and a nickel. Feeder cattle in the August down $4.50 at $2.14.57 and a half. And the lean hog settled $1.75 higher in the July at $76 even. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like for the day. Crude oil in the August contract, $59.41 a barrel, $1.09 higher. Ethanol futures at $1.59 and 9 cents. That's up 3.5 cents. Gasoline on the wholesale price at $2.07 and a half, 4 4/10 of a cent higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil at 4.5 cents higher, $1.88 and 2/10 of a cent. And the natural gas for the day finished the August contract a penny and 9 cents higher at $2.82 and a half on the afternoon. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 17,535. That's just about 16 points higher on the day. The U.S. dollar at 95.69 is up 0.740. And the gold futures at $1,173 are down $6. The USDA, rather, the National Weather Service for the day, says that we'll have some isolated showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly sunny skies, a high of 82 tonight. Showers and thunderstorms all before 8 in the evening, patchy fog after 4 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy, a low of 59, and then tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m., patchy fog before 8 a.m. Wednesday, a 50% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and a low of 60 degrees. And then on Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 a.m., partly sunny with a high of 76. Thursday night, partly cloudy and a low of 60. Friday, sunny and 77. Friday night, partly cloudy and 61. For July the 4th, that'd be Saturday, a chance of showers, some thunderstorms, mostly sunny, a high near 80 degrees Saturday night. Some showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy, and a low of 63. And then by the time we get to the start of the week, a chance of showers on Sunday, partly sunny and 81. On Monday, a chance of showers, partly sunny and 84 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It's June the 30th, USDA Report Day. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture at 11 a.m. Central Time released a couple of reports. It shows as of today, it expects that 88.9 million acres of corn were planted and 85.1 million acres of soybeans. In the quarterly grain stocks report, it shows 4.45 million on hand for corn, 625 million for soybeans, and 753 million bushels for the wheat market. We're joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to talk a little bit about those numbers, but mostly about how the trade reacted. Good afternoon. I bet it was a busy day for you, Wayne.
Hey, you know, it's been a little bit of excitement, but it's been positive excitement for a change this time. You know, and the farmers that have been sitting here, sitting back, and until yesterday or today have been forced to decide whether they want to limit losses rather than make a profit. And it's put us back into that area of making a profit. So very good day as far as farmers are concerned.
Yeah, tell me about what you think of those numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture. I think it's probably important to note that USDA did say that in Arkansas, Kansas, and Missouri, it expects to resurvey the acreage figures for soybeans, though it won't update those unless it's justified in the crop production numbers due out on the 12th day of August.
Yeah, and that's probably good because we know that there was a lot of people the first 2 weeks of June when the survey was taken that weren't intending on, had the weather permitted, to plant acres that aren't planted in those three states. So, you know, that is very important if it does get up to be a significant number. I think the most significant thing that the USDA did today was realize that they probably misfigured the carry-in for last year, the carry-out from last year that become this year's carry-in in the beans. Now, that isn't maybe the way they'd phrase it, but we saw enough of the yields, believe their yields were on, and that big drop there was the first thing, along with the idea that there will be other acreage or harvested acres taken away, that really lit the fire under the soybeans today, Todd.
So it lit this fire under soybeans. What do you think our ending stocks will look like for soybeans?
Well, you know, that was some of the talk today. There was talk out there that with the June stocks less than expected, and everything along the way, that there are some talking that we could get down, drop under 200 million bushels on the carryout this year. And I think that some talk like that, along with the funds extremely buying strongly today, is what pushed it up here, because that's a lot under what we're talking about.
Well, given
before,
that we have at this point, and we will have these numbers updated in July with the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, a 330 million bushel carryout, and you're talking about old crop or new crop, actually, for the carryout when you suggested under 200?
Well, that the funds were commercial talk around the news wires of the carryout for next year.
15, 16. Okay. Just to clarify, you hit that 200 million bushel mark, and I thought, man, that would be an awfully big change. I didn't think that was quite
enough. Right. But I mean, they're saying with the production down and everything that way. So,
yeah.
But, you know, that is, that's one thing that really did. I think that, I don't know how to interpret what's happening in Greece. Is some of the currencies, the exchange rates go, sometimes the flight to quality is people need food no matter where they're at and what's going on. And sometimes, last few times, we have seen a little flight to commodities. Was there some new money coming in buying commodities because of that today? We don't know, but there was an awful lot of buying that happened today. You look at the trades that happened today, and December corn, 408,000 contracts. November beans, 282,000 contracts traded. There was some big volumes in there today.
Some very big volumes, some movement, as you suggested, maybe of outside money that's fleeing Europe into the commodity markets. Do you think there will be much follow-through on today's trade as we move forward?
you know, as we look at things, this was a very positive chart mover.
Yes,
you know, as we look, we took out the yearly highs. So these are the, you know, tonight, November beans are over the high it's been back in January. December corn is basically right at it. I mean, it had been 432. We're at 430 3/4, and we traded at 432 and a quarter. So, you know, it does seem to me that there will probably be some leftover buying, some people that maybe didn't get out that are. And tomorrow morning, I bet that the margin guys are going to be very busy in Chicago.
The margin guys probably will be busy in Chicago. A couple of other items that I want to make sure we take up with you. Soft red winter wheat in particular. That crop has suffered in southern Illinois, southern Indiana, and Missouri. It's in really sore condition. And we did have a pop in the marketplace today. But I don't know how much of that was due to the condition of the crop and how much of it was due to what was happening with the USDA reports. And we need to discuss that, I think, just a little bit, because there are some numbers when you look at the Don that's coming in on those that are just terribly, terribly bad. Emerson Napsiger was in my office this morning, had a confirmed report of a $5 dock at the elevator.
Yeah. The quality is terrible. Basically, instead of wheat rallying, we probably should have had corn selling off because there's so much feed wheat available. But, you know, it's become a lot of this is just going to be feed wheat. It's not milling wheat. We've went up in the wheat market here. I mean, you know, look at it. It's got sixes in front of it now.
Right.
That's wild compared to what we were in the world of washing wheat. We've got three things going on. We've got, number one, we've got the dry weather in Europe, and it seems to be spreading out to other countries. We've got the Russian tariff thing coming in there. And then, of course, we have got the tremendously poor quality and harvest delays happening here in the U.S. So, I mean, all those things thrown together, we've got an awful lot of feed wheat of it going to be available to feed this year. You know, it's just awfully hard to say. It's going to be a two-tier system here in the wheat this year. There's going to be milling quality that's going to get a bonus, and there's going to be the feed wheat that is going to get a big discount. So, you know, it's going to be awfully hard to say, but all in all, good milling quality wheat is probably going to be a lot harder to get than everybody thought.
And finally, the livestock feeder cattle had a pretty rough day.
You know, of course, corn up 30 cents and new crop corn at $4.30 as we close, as we're looking at the corn out there. That makes feeding feeder cattle quite a bit more expensive. And, you know, we sort of seen inverse when corn goes up, feeder cattle go down. But also, you know, we are seeing some big numbers in the hogs and pigs report there. That was one of the things they thought they could increase feed usage because of the big numbers in the hogs and pigs report. So we are seeing a lot of competition with pork there.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. It's USDA Report Day. Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois, is in studio with us this afternoon. Daryl, I'd like you to take me through the numbers and what you saw at 11 o'clock today.
Well, first looking at the grain stocks numbers, as you indicated, corn stocks as of June 1 at about 4.45 billion, about 100 million less than the average trade guess. Soybeans, 625 million bushels, 45 million bushels less than the trade guess. Planted acres of corn at 88.9 million, again about 400,000 less than the average trade guess. Soybean acreage at 85.1 million. Pretty close to what the market was expecting. And now the question is, how is that all being interpreted by the market?
Yeah. How is it being interpreted by the market?
Well, on the stocks numbers, the corn inventory would indicate that feed and residual use during the third quarter of the marketing year was about 100 million bushels larger than expected, about 300 million bushels larger than use during that same quarter last year. And kind of confirms our expectations that the increase in broilers, dairy cows, and hogs resulted in some pretty good feed demand, and suggests to me that feed use of corn for the year probably will exceed the current USDA projection of 5.25 billion I would be tempted to add 50 million bushels to that and bring the year-ending stocks number down by an equivalent amount. Soybeans, that number added fuel to the fire about whether the 2014 crop was overestimated. It certainly appears that it was. Seed and residual use of soybeans during the first three quarters of the year, 300 million bushels, typical is 200 million, and then you get a large negative use in the fourth quarter. So it says right now that it looks like last year's crop could have been overestimated by 50 to 100 million bushels. That won't get resolved until the September crop report. And in the meantime, WASDE will show that, I think, with a big residual disappearance of soybeans in their balance sheet and projecting a much lower carryover than the 330 million bushels previously forecast.
How much lower do you think?
You know, I think it could be 70, 80 million bushels less, down towards 250 to 260 million bushels rather than the 330. Again, you look at fourth quarter residual use, typically runs about a negative 100 million bushels. If we do that, then we'll come in about that 260 mark on carryover number. But certainly directionally a lot smaller than 330 million.
What should farmers take away from today's reports?
Well, I think it does say that the markets have been the demand has been a little stronger than expected. Supplies are not quite so burdensome. Acreage on corn, not as big as expected. I think we'll probably lose some of the soybean acres relative to what we saw in the June report. Still a lot of unplanted acres at survey time. Still a lot of unplanted acres of soybeans. So I think we'll see the acreage number come down more on soybeans, suggest that the crop potential has dropped quite a bit. But having said that, I think you could actually see an increase in carryover stocks next year on soybeans compared to what we're going to have this year, just because we don't have probably the export base that we have this year. So I think now that we've moved above the insurance price, and solidly above the insurance price on soybeans, then it's time for start taking some action on new crop, probably both corn and soybeans at this time.
Interesting. So just to clarify, because now we're talking probably sub 300 million bushel carryout for soybeans this year. We were at 330. We're at, 475 for next year. Not too hard to say it might still be bigger than that. How much bigger? I mean, are you in that 400 million bushel category?
No, I think it'll be considerably less than 475, but I think bigger than the 260 that we will have this year.
This year.
So I'm thinking 300, 310 is probably a likely carryover next year. There's so much to be determined yet in terms of acreage and yield of the soybean crop, but I just penciled in a bushel lower on yield than what USDA has shown. Take 1.5 million acres off of harvested acres and use the USDA's projection of consumption, and you get something like 310 carryover. So I think right now, you say we're moving in the right direction on the surplus for next year, but we don't stack up to be really tight at this point. And so in order to get the balance sheet relatively tight, we're going to have to see production prospects, I think, deteriorate a bit more than what we've seen so far.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you think that there might need to be some new crop sales made. Now, for those who listen long enough, they know that for the first time ever, I actually have a crop to sell. I made my first sale today ever. I didn't make 10 bucks, though. It was close. I had an offer in. So that's the last time, by the way, I'll ever tell you I made a sale. given that, I think probably producers are looking out at, especially in this area, they're looking across, if they're north of Champaign-Urbana, they're looking across from Peoria to Watsika, all the way to the Ohio border, thinking, hey, this is really rough, certainly for corn. desperately maybe for soybeans. And then you've got USDA saying in Kansas, and we know this, and Missouri, and then Arkansas, but in Kansas and Missouri especially, that we're going to resurvey, and we don't think they've got as many acres in the ground. They're probably going to be reticent to make a sale, I would think, on new crop.
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, you've got to temper everything with your own production prospects. Those with good crops and large yield prospects have the luxury of being a little more aggressive, I think, on new crop sales. If you're in one of those really large areas now that's had too much water or didn't get planted, then you have to be much more cautious. And so that's why decisions have to be kind of tailored to the individual situation.
So it's as much about your basis as anything.
It's about your basis and about your expected crop size. I mean, if I'm expecting pretty confidently 200 bushel corn, then I don't mind reaching out and selling pretty aggressively. But if I've still got stuff underwater or not planted, then I don't want to be quite as aggressive.
Yeah, so corn's an interesting character at this point, and I'll talk about this. I've talked about this with Emerson this morning. I'll try to get it up on the web soon enough and certainly on the air, but he's really pretty concerned about the corn crop across the Corn Belt and certainly in Illinois and Indiana and its ability to recover from the conditions it's in now.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly defer to him on that. All we know in the meantime is what the crop looks like, and we'll continue to see that reported on a weekly basis in the crop condition report. You know, that doesn't tell us what's going on underground or with the yield potential. It only tells us what the crop looks like, but in the past, that's been a pretty good indicator of yield potential. From a national standpoint, I don't think we can lose track of the fact that most of Iowa, Minnesota, northern growing areas have crops that are in remarkably good condition and large production prospects there.
Yeah, Minnesota in particular, and they have a soybean crop. I was listening to the state statisticians about 20 minutes before we got on the air, and I'll put that one up on the website because it won't air today. But their soybean crop is in really good condition, and it's blooming in Minnesota already.
Right. It's unlike last year or in even most recent years. Minnesota was really early planted this year, and they have not had the stress of the excess moisture like we've had or like they had last year. So they're probably the garden spot of the Corn Belt this year.
And speaking of garden spot, and we don't have but maybe a minute left, how much impact does the Minnesota / Iowa area have in terms of your mindset based on what's really good condition and what's in not great condition in the Corn Belt?
Well, we've got to recognize that Iowa has the most corn acres of any state, so their conditions are weighted heavier than anybody else's. Minnesota is in the top five corn-producing states, so their conditions heavily influence the weighted average for the U.S., so when that crop is in, 80% plus good to excellent condition, even though Ohio has dropped 38 points in that category in the last 2 weeks, the national number has only come down 5 points. So they have a big influence on what production potential is on a national basis.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure.
That's Darrell Good. He's an ag economist right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. You can read a detailed look of his thoughts on the Farm Doc Daily website. It's there now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. But I will tell you there is one update of a paragraph. Make sure you come back and reread it later as well.
It's National Ice Cream Soda Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1831, the first U.S. patent for a platform scale was issued to the Fairbanks brothers of St. Johnsbury, Vermont. In 1886, the U.S. Division of Forestry was established by an act of Congress. The act also opened up timberland for legitimate uses and established the principles by which federally owned forest land would be reserved for public use. In 1905, the U.S. Division of Forestry moved from the Department of the Interior to USDA. In 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act and the Meat Inspection Act were passed by Congress. In 1985, James A. Dewar died. He is the creator of the golden sponge cake with a creamy filling, better known as the Twinkie. By the way, Twinkies originally contained banana cream filling, but was replaced with vanilla cream filling during a banana shortage during World War II. And in 1996, Dr. Edward Anton Asselberg is believed to have died. He developed the process for making instant mashed potato flakes, the patent that is still used worldwide today. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here. Don, the weather has definitely had an impact on the crop across the Corn Belt. Corn and soybean numbers both dwindling, declining in their ability to take up nutrients, ability to continue to move forward in a really good fashion. They would like, in an unusual thing, a little less rain as opposed to a little more. What do you know about the coming week?
Well, I tell you, it's still going to be a struggle. The frequency of rain being able to, the chances of it coming through many of the wet areas is still looking pretty high. Now, the spacing between these systems may be a little bit wider, giving us a little bit of a chance to warm up and dry it in between them. But especially the central and the southern Corn Belt areas are going to be looking at systems coming through about every 3 or 4 days, bringing shower and thunderstorm activity our way, and this will do a couple of things, keep things moist, especially in the central and southern Corn Belt areas, and also keep those temperatures somewhat depressed. We're still not looking at being able to get anything that looks real warm, or at least an extended period of warmer, drier weather.
And if you go even further out, do we find more summertime sorts of temperatures and or rainfall events, or lack thereof, I should say?
Well, I think as we get into July, we're probably not going to see a dramatic turnaround. I do see it warmer in the month of July relative to what it's been here like over the last couple of weeks, but it's still going to be a struggle. And I think the western and central areas of the Midwest are going to be the areas that are going to feel the coolness the most in the month of July. The way the pattern is unfolding, some of the general trends we've seen over the last 4 weeks will carry forward into July. So it's going to be a struggle. And as we talked last week, Todd, I think it's going to be a situation to where it's going to be the back half of summer that's going to be warmer than the earlier parts.
Interesting. Also drier than the earlier parts, I assume, too.
Well,
that would be easy to do. But
you would expect that. As you get warmer, you usually do get a little bit drier, and I think that'll be a trend as well. But I think at least for the first 2 or 3 weeks of July, a lot of the same trends we're going to see aren't going to change too much.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Be sure to visit our website at WILLHE.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming and the USDA report numbers. Just look for the USDA Reports tab or the link. depending on how you are looking at that website, it will either be over on the right-hand side or all the way at the bottom of the page. If you're on a website and a regular desktop or your laptop, just open the window up and it'll show up on the right-hand side of the page. If you're on your phone, it's probably all the way down at the bottom. Just look for the link that says USDA Report, and you can take a look at the numbers from this morning's June 30th acreage and grain stocks reports for yourself. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.